Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Rider Nation, are you ready?
Guns across the middle for Pickton. Touchdown, Riders! Masoli gunning over top, and it's picked by Blaise Brown. Five-man pressure quickly. Little hit screen to Schaefer Baker. Still alive, 15-10. Schaefer Baker is going to score!
After a season riddled with injuries, the Riders still found a way to get it done. Today, Cody Fajardo looks to lead the green and white to victory in the West semifinal at Mosaic Stadium. It's the Riders and the Stamps on the Cooperator's Rough Rider Radio Network. Nobody covers your team like our team. Now, let's go live to the stadium with your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor and Luke Mullender, as they get you ready for kickoff. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the Source 620 CKRM.
Let's start this Sunday by being honest with each other. There is no better circumstance than the one that is presented to us today. It's the Riders and Stampeders to take on the Bombers in the playoffs. Two rivals going head-to-head. The weather, perfect. The venue, the best in the Canadian Football League. Where else would you rather be on a playoff Sunday than here in Saskatchewan? Thank you so much for being with us for the Rider Nation pregame show. Derek Taylor, Glenn Suter in the broadcast booth, brought to you by McDougal Auctioneers, best in the bidding business, McDougalAuction.com. Suits, this feels like a Vancouver day. You're a Vancouver guy. This feels like a Vancouver Sunday. This weather is perfect. We don't have to talk about elements, any of that stuff. Just let's have two teams smash each other and the better team will win.
Yeah, the weather is great. The track should be fast. There's it's not frozen. It's not slippery. It's going to be ideal. Weather just being a little bit crisp, but not in any way going to affect the outcome of this game. No, the players will decide.
I love it. Playoff memory. Give me a playoff memory. You have a lengthy history of playoff football here in Saskatchewan, both as an observer and a person calling it, and then, of course, from your career. Anything come to mind on a day like this?
Yeah, what comes to mind immediately is not necessarily the talent. I know we've broken down the talent of these two teams. Who has the edge in the secondaries? Who has the edge in the linebacking corps? And we've gone through that all week, and everybody has, but what I remember, and back to 1989, and what will still stand true is it's not going to be the team with most talent. It'll be the team that stays together, plays like there is no tomorrow, that never takes a playoff, all of those things, and everyone will contribute. There will be a guy that you don't expect in this game today that will be a difference maker that no one's talking about, not one of the big star names, and he'll make a difference. And that's what I remember about 89, that everyone contributed. We went into Calgary, and we beat Calgary because we got some great blocks by backup running backs and receivers that nobody knew and wasn't starting, like Duke. And, we had guys like that made contributions in Calgary. Then we went to Edmonton in 16-2, and again, different quarterbacks playing different games. We had the entire team took their responsibility, whatever that was, huge, big, like a star or not, and did the best they could in that responsibility. So if your job was to cover kicks, you were the best kick cover guy in the game, and that's how we got there. So it's not the team with the best talent that will win today. It is the team that stays together and is the best team.
I love it. Shout out to Kevin Francis, who will make the big play of the game. Just picking somebody off. I don't know. We're picking. I was going to go Chrissy Zala, but that would be pretty stretchy on that front. Cody Fajardo this season, the two quarterbacks in this game, in fact, neither one of them had the season that they had in 2019. Give me, if you would, what you expect from Fajardo today.
Well, I think he's going to run. I think he's going to, you know, when you get to these games, you do what you do best. And you really lean into what has made you the starting quarterback in Saskatchewan, what has made you the quarterback, if you're Cody, that got to 20 wins faster than any quarterback in Rider history at 20-8. So, I think that's what he'll do, and that's what Bo will do. Bo will do what he does well. He'll negotiate the pocket. He will not run. Very seldom will he run.
Yep.
He'll negotiate the pocket, and he'll try to find throwing lanes to get guys open after the initial routes have been run. And that's how he buys time, uses his legs effectively. Cody's going to run for the first down a few times, a bunch of times probably. And I it's two different styles, not better or worse, but we'll see who prevails, because you know that Cody running the ball is a big part of his package.
Yeah, he's been he's the leading quarterback scrambler. He is number two in quarterback designed runs as far as yardage goes, an integral part of this Riders offense that just has not been able to establish the run with the running back so far in this one. They played the first game was in Calgary. It was a 6-point Stampeders win.
Yep.
The next game was here. It was a 3-point Stamps win. They go back to Calgary. It's a 3-point Rider win. 3-1 score games, each team winning in the others, various ways in which it happened. Honestly, the best part is anything can happen because of that. These are two teams who are as equal as you can get, honestly.
They are. I mean, they're matched up nicely. They have strengths and weaknesses in different areas that we've broken down throughout the week that really equals it all up. I mean, both quarterbacks have had to scratch and claw for everything, and it's not been a bowl year that we're used to,
yeah,
as far as Mitchell goes. And, you know, the one thing I go back and I think about both of these quarterbacks, actually, but Cody in particular, with his accuracy issues at times on the deep ball. Years ago, my coach in high school told me, and I was playing quarterback at Carson Graham High School, same as Braden Lennius.
Right.
He had a year at Carson Graham High School back there, so we didn't have the same coach. My coach was long gone by the time he was there. But I was told to aim small and miss small. So in other words, if you aim at a receiver, there's about a 4-foot radius when you look at that receiver that
right.
he can get his hands on the ball. So if you miss that receiver and you're aiming at him as a person, you're now missing by 4 feet. But if you aim for his right eyeball,
okay.
There's only a 3-inch radius around his right eyeball. So if you miss, you only miss by 3 inches. And he should be able to still get his hands on that. So aim small, miss small has got to be Cody's mindset right now.
Yeah, both quarterbacks have multiple turnovers in multiple games in this series so far. For the Riders, that's going to be integral to them. 6 interceptions of Bo in the 3 games. They are going to need plenty more of those come this afternoon. Suits, thank you. Great to see you again. Have a fantastic call. We will, through this glass here, we will celebrate great plays by the Riders, and I will thumbs down any great Calgary plays to you. But honestly, this is just going to be a hell of a football game. Maybe low scoring, but it is going to be a hell of a contest.
It will be. And to all Rider fans or Calgary fans that may be listening right now, I am not going to go overcompensate because I used to be a Rider and I'm not trying to protect the Riders or I'm going with Calgary. None of that is going to happen. I just call it like it see. See it, okay?
He does have on the greenest tie you ever saw, just saying. He's Glenn Suter. He's with us every week on the Sports Cage, every week in the pregame show as well. For Access Communications, Sask Milk, The Wireless Age, your Sasktel authorized dealer, McDougall Auctioneers, and Salford Group. On the other side of the break, we're 52 minutes from kickoff. We'll talk to Shaq Evans. He says the biggest game of his career will be this afternoon here in Regina. For Young's Equipment, the cooperators, see Aaron Colavelle at Aaron and Associates Insurance in Regina, Advantage Crop Protection and Wood River Controls. We will return to Mosaic Stadium after this on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Four.
Your voice of the Riders, Derek Taylor, is breaking down today's matchups with players, coaches, and all the in-depth stats. It's the access and details you'll only find with Rider Nation Pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
49 minutes to kickoff from Mosaic Stadium. The Riders and Stampeders in the West semifinal. It is going to be a fantastic game. Shaq Evans, the Riders' superstar receiver from 2019. Bit of a slow one for him in 2021. We talked to Shaq yesterday in his pregame availability. We asked him to describe the importance of today's game.
Oh, man, this is the biggest game of my life, like, so far. So, you know, like you said, coupled with the fact that we lost in 2018 in Winnipeg, 2019 in Winnipeg, you know, and they both were at home. So, like Coach Dickey said in the week, there's pressure. And I want everybody to feel pressure because I feel like pressure, you know, makes diamonds. And I live for pressure. I'm excited for a game like this. I haven't had too many opportunities like this in my lifetime. Like, I didn't make the playoffs in high school, didn't win any championships in college. So this game is super important to me. And I think everybody in that locker room feels the exact same way I do.
Been here before.
Shaq Evans, biggest game ever for him, Mitchell Blair. And it's funny, talking to some of the American guys, they're like, yeah, you know what? We didn't play do-or-die games since high school because we would have bowl games, but very few actually went to a national championship game. So for them, these kind of games are few and far between.
Yeah, and you take a look that Shaq Evans went to UCLA, and obviously they would have had rivalry games against USC, and I'd have to look back to see what bowl games, if any, because I know UCLA didn't have some great years, if what bowl games, if any, Shaq Evans had to play in. But yeah, if you're not, you know, someone from an Alabama or a Clemson or somebody, yeah, really you don't have any playoff games. And this is what this is today. So it is probably one of the biggest games that Shaq Evans has ever played. And I had sort of forgotten that the Riders have not won a playoff game on this field because they've been beaten by Winnipeg twice here in a playoff game at Mosaic. So you know what? It's finally time to end that slide. As you know, I'm a huge Michigan fan, and it'd been how long since they beat Ohio State? Well, that finally happened yesterday. So it's time for the Riders to win a home playoff game. And who's kidding who? You do that, and then you roll the dice in Winnipeg next weekend and see what happens.
And it's time for Shaq Evans to have an absolute bust-out performance. 25 receptions for 245 yards, I believe it is, on the season. I left out a number here. That very un-Shaq-like thus far.
Absolutely. Shaq Evans is a guy that you would expect to have 13 to 14 yards per catch, the average. It's under 10. Certainly the injury did not help Shaq Evans out, but Shaq Evans needs to be the 2019 Shaq Evans if the Riders are going to have a chance at winning this football game today. And, you know, they seem to have gotten the deep ball isn't what it was in 19. I don't think that we can, you know, we can't argue that. It's been getting better with Duke Williams in there. But we need to see Shaq Evans make a couple of long catches today. Or those little slant patterns where you break the tackle and get it up in the secondary for 20, 30 yards, if not longer. We need Shaq Evans today to be the guy that he was in 19 if they're going to be successful.
Absolutely agreed. Cody Fajardo comes into this game off his roughest season as a starter. Obviously, there haven't been a ton of games, a ton of seasons as a starter. This is number two for him. But he had the full week off, right? Didn't practice much in advance of last week's game against Hamilton. He was the third quarterback essentially handling those duties. We talked to Cody Fajardo and asked him what the week off has given him.
They wanted me to stay home and get my rest, so I didn't even go on the trip, which was unfortunate. But watching it at home was way different. At least I could kind of take my quarterback hat off for a little bit and put my fan hat on and just enjoy the game and not worry about the mental part of the game.
Positive or negative, what did the week away from being the number one quarterback do for you?
It's similar to a bye week, except I didn't see my wife. So, in terms of it, clearing your mental space was really good for me. Physically was really good as well. I think overall it's going to be a bonus. But getting back into the swing of things and, having live bullets fly by you again, just like coming off a bye week, it's going to take you just a little bit of time to kind of get back into it. But, hopefully all year I've been kind of training for that. I think it's, you know, mixed signals because emotionally I wanted to be there, but I think it was the right move mentally and physically for me. I had some injuries I was dealing with and that was kind of limiting me. And I was glad that I was able to take the time off and let those fully heal for this playoff push.
It's the Riders quarterback Cody Fajardo on getting a week off in advance of this game. We'll go to break for Claws of America and your Saskatchewan Party Caucus. 44 minutes to kick off. We'll talk about one of the big changes to the Calgary lineup and how the Riders defensive backs are preparing for Mr. Reggie Bagleton. That's coming up on the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
You didn't make it where you are today by simply making do. Status quo, not on your farm. You work harder and smarter because numbers mean everything. You demand more from your equipment. Greater throughput, leading efficiency, intuitive intelligence. When your bottom line is the top priority, one brand delivers the numbers you deserve. Brighter Solutions, built by Claws.
Rider Radio lives at 620 CKRM on Facebook, on Twitter, and in the sports cage at 620CKRM.com.
41 minutes to kick off. It's the Riders and Stampeders in the West semifinal. And these two teams, as you know, they've played three times already this season. But since they last played, both teams have had pretty substantial changes. The Stampeders added receiver Reggie Bagleton, all-star cornerback Trey Roberson, while, of course, the Riders have added superstar receiver Duke Williams. We asked halfback Ed Gainey what they plan to do against number 86, Reggie Bagleton.
Just play football, man. You know, he's not Superman. He puts on pants just like we do. So, got to read our keys and, you know, realize when he's in front of us, then, you know, we might be hot. So, I mean, when he's in front of me, I'm going to know. I'm get my knees bent, get down, get ready to get my eyes in the right place and, you know, go from there.
When he's in front of me, I'm going to get ready. In his debut this season, Bagleton had 7 catches for 119 yards and a touchdown against BC Lions. He's played 2 games because of the meaningless game this past week he was a minor part of, but he will be a real threat on that boundary side where Ed Gainey and Nick Marshall reside. 40 minutes to kick off for Degelman Industries, Nutrien Ag Solutions, and Bronc Beer now available in Saskatchewan. Mitchell Blair rejoins me on the other side to talk about a reemergence. Paul McRoberts back in the lineup, and Rider fans who remember training camp in 2019 are very excited for this. That's coming up on the Rider Nation pregame show, the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. Fajardo quickly. It's Paul McRoberts, 15, made a man miss, 10. McRoberts, 5, down at the 2-yard line. Paul McRoberts just about had the touchdown. That was week 3 against Ottawa. Paul McRoberts, Riders' debut. 4 targets, 4 catches, plus a run for 9 yards, and then we've not seen him since. Sent
week
back to the practice
3?
Roster. It was a long time ago. Ricardo Lewis came onto the roster. Coaches talked about how much Ricardo would be in the proper position for this, which led us to wonder, what's the deal with Paul McRoberts? We caught up with McRoberts this week, and we asked him, were you surprised when you were sent back to the practice roster after what was a pretty good debut?
No, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I had no idea that would happen, but like I said, it really didn't matter to me. I am really a team guy, team first guy. So I put all that pride aside, and I know I was on a high, and I wanted to play because I had a great game. But I really put that aside, and I wanted to grow with the game more. I wanted to, you know, learn the offense better. I wanted to just play my role. Like I said, we were winning as well, so I couldn't get mad at that. And I just wanted to wait my opportunity again. I definitely have high expectations, and it was kind of tough, you know, but I feel like overall, mentally, I've been, like you said, I haven't played in the NFL. I've been on practice squad. So, like, it felt kind of normal to me, you know, to be honest. But I told myself, don't fall into that. Don't settle, you know what I'm saying? Like, let it be comfortable at the same time, like, understanding the, you know, business side and everything like that as far as, you know, the organizations in the league and in here. It's all, a corporation. So just know that, but don't fall back and settle. Want to play again, work your butt off to make sure that happens like it just happened. So that's all I did. I just fell back, like I said, to play my role with the mindset of I know I'm going to play again.
That is the Riders receiver, Paul McRoberts. Mitchell Blair, 4 targets, 4 catches, 42 yards against Ottawa, and never to be seen again until Ricardo Lewis tore his Achilles last week, and number 88 will be back at the boundary slot today.
How much of an X factor is Paul McRoberts going into this game today? Like, we know that Shaq Evans is going to see some balls. We know Duke Williams will see some balls. We know that William Powell will probably see some out of the backfield. Ricardo Lewis, to me, was a disappointment. I think that's fair. A fair statement to make. That's not a condemnation against him, but I think considering his resume, I think he was a disappointment. He couldn't hang on to the football. Paul McRoberts is a guy, and you have seen practice a lot more than what I have this year, and you obviously saw what he did at training camp in 19 and 21. There was a lot of excitement when he came in. Four catches, 42 yards. He scratched the surface. He didn't disappoint.
That's great. That's a great start, yeah.
I just wonder how much we see Paul McRoberts in the game plan today and how much of an X factor that he is. Because Calgary hasn't really seen this guy. You know, Calgary's got the new receiver in Begelton, but we all know what Reggie Begelton can do. They've also got the other guy whose name I'm not even going to try to pronounce.
Are you talking about Luther Hakanavanu?
Thank you.
Okay.
And Kazoon type. I don't know a lot about him, but I know that there's probably a couple plays in the book for him today, too. And I wonder if Paul McRoberts is a guy today that Jason Moss has given Cody Fajardo a package for, and if we see Paul McRoberts maybe getting more targets than what you would expect today.
6'3", 192 yards, the second-year man out of Southeast Missouri State. 6'3", 192 is long and lean, and his hands are massive. Not long after he got benched in pure Paul McRoberts, and benched, sent back to practice roster, whatever you want to term it, they were doing a drill working on deep balls here at practice, going into the north end zone, and Paul just leaped off his left foot and just one-handed it with his back hand, and you went, okay, yeah, that's McRoberts. He could, I mean, if you were drawing up the storybook Paul McRoberts story, he could easily jump over a guy, make the game-winning touchdown, send the Riders on to the West Final. That's the kind of skill that is available. Coach Dickinson has talked about it, and Coach Moss has talked about it. Hey, he needs to be in the right place at the right time, which would, without saying it, is Paul doesn't know the playbook. So that is going to be absolutely critical for him going forward, because if he's, I mean, there have been problems in this offense independent of guys not knowing where they should be. If Paul isn't in the right place, it could be a very long day.
Now, I know this would have been a ratio problem if it had gone this way, but if Paul McRoberts didn't know the playbook, and again, you'll probably have the answer to this because I'm just going to spitball this out there. I know Justin McInnes isn't playing today because of a hamstring injury.
Correct.
But if Terrell Janna knew the playbook better than Paul McRoberts, would you have put him in the lineup today?
That's a tough one. Janna's been on the roster for one game this season.
So is McRoberts.
Honestly, they would have had the chance to, right? This was their chance. They were down to their last licks, right? They lost all their Americans,
right,
until McRoberts. McInnes probably would have gotten a lot more burn if.
And that's why I just wonder, like, how much
so
would
hard.
It have tinkered with the ratio if Terrell Janna knew the playbook better than Paul McRoberts? Now, again, if they had no choice because of that American-Canadian situation,
they're starting nine Canadians, so they could have done whatever they wanted with the spot.
Right.
So
I just
obviously
wonder,
figure McRoberts is the number one choice.
I just wonder if he didn't know the playbook then, does he have enough of a grasp of it now, or could you have gone somewhere else saying that guy knows the playbook better than you do?
I'm gonna cross my fingers very tight that the answer to your question is yes, he has the playbook down pat. We are 31 and a half minutes from kickoff for Bear Crop Science, science for a better life, SaskTel, AgCo, and spreads.ca. still to come, we'll hear from Duke Williams. He's got some inflammatory comments about this Calgary defense, plus he needs to explain just how he bounced back from what looked like an awful knee injury in the game versus Edmonton. Luke Mullender as well, the weather report, everything to get you set for this West semifinal. The Riders and Stamps coming to you live from Mosaic Stadium on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The answer. Anticipation is building. The air is electric. The color is green. This is Rider Nation pregame on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. We're now just 30 minutes away from kickoff. Stay tuned. We'll have more all-access interviews from the Riders and get Luke Mullender's three keys to the game. It's all part of the CFL's most comprehensive game day coverage. Rider Nation pregame, only on Rider Radio, the source, 620 CKRM. Rider Pride worldwide. Listen to Rider Radio around the globe with the official CKRM app. It's a free download for your smartphone at 620ckrm.com.
Mosaic Stadium, it is the Riders and Stampeders in the West semifinal. The winner goes to Winnipeg next week to take down what seemed like a super-powered Blue Bombers team. For the Riders, a chance to win their first playoff game, their first playoff win here at Mosaic Stadium. Changes for the Riders since last week and since the last time they played Calgary. We will examine those with Luke Mullender coming up. But all in all, it is a perfect day for football here in Regina. Currently 1 degree Celsius, wind out of the southeast at 17 kilometers an hour. The flags on the goalpost lying virtually silent here at Mosaic Stadium. Everything you could want for a November 28th football game. The latest a game has been played here in Saskatchewan. We've got it for you tonight. The weather conditions brought to you by Go Grain, the new app that lets farmers book and track grain trucking right from their phone. Download today at gograin.ca. Luke Mullender next. We'll talk about how amazing the Saskatchewan defense has been in the three-game series against these Calgary Stampeders and what they will need to do this afternoon. For Seedmaster, Battery Depot by CAA, and Special Blend by Weiser's, we'll return to Mosaic Stadium on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Saskatchewan's number one sports radio talk show is The Sports Cage. Weekdays at 4 with Derek Taylor on The Source, 620 CKRM.
25 minutes to kick off here at Mosaic Stadium. The Riders and Stampeders in the West semifinal. We've got our sideline reports all game long, brought to you by our good friends at Ritchie Brothers. They love CFL football, want everyone to enjoy the game. Ritchie Brothers Auctioneers. Download the RBA app or visit rbauction.com. Luke Mullender, this is November 28th football weather. I'm guessing you were not blessed like this in your career.
No, absolutely not. This is a, I think you couldn't put it any better than that. What a blessing. This is perfect football weather. It's about 0 degrees or 1 degree. I can't imagine a better scenario for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, but also the Calgary Stampeders here to play this game.
Yeah, but those guys can go away. We don't like them very much. The three games these two teams have played have been fantastic for the Riders' defense. Calgary allowed 20 sacks all season long. 10 of them came from the Riders in just those three games.
Yeah.
Bo Levi Mitchell intercepted 13 times this season. 6 of those were in the three games by the Riders. Mm-hmm. They have this opposing offense's number, and they are going to need to tonight.
Yeah, and I think that that's why all the attention shifts to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offense and what Jason Moss and Cody Fajardo are able to do. Because when you look at the defense versus offense of the Calgary Stampeders, you think, oh, that's a win, right? When you look at special teams here, well, they're even, right? You know, you and I talk a
lot
about
having Calgary's really good in that front, but yeah.
You and I talking a lot about having to win two out of the three phases, right? So it automatically looks like whatever Saskatchewan can do offensively versus the Calgary Stampeders defense is going to decide the football game, good or bad.
Well, because the story of the first couple of games in this series, right, was quick starts by that Calgary offense, slow starts by the Saskatchewan offense. They were down 14-0 in game number one because of a turnover on third down.
Right out of the gate.
In their own end. The 71-yard first play to Markeith Ambles here a couple months back gave Calgary the jump in game number two. Game three was played relatively close to the vest. The defense, I mean, we overdo bend but don't break, but that's what they are, right? They allow the second most yards per pass. They don't get hurt in the run too bad. But, man, when they get those turnovers, Purifoy against Montreal, Marshall against BC, when they get those turnovers, that keeps this team alive, and that gives them the chance to beat, honestly, anybody if they get enough turnovers.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I mean, you look at the team defensively, they were a plus 12 this year. That is a phenomenal result, especially considering some of the things that have gone on offensively. That's been the name of the game here since Chris Jones came to Saskatchewan. And the reason I say Chris Jones is because Shivers came with him, right? And we've always known Shivers to be a guy that has stepped into that role and welcomed the challenge, but not only welcomed it, he's excelled. He's excelled as a defensive coordinator here for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They've continued to build on torrid turnover pace. And probably one of the other things that you really love to see is that the defensive front is producing at one of the highest levels we've seen in a long time. So it's all working defensively for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and that's why all of that attention directly focuses on what Jason Moss is going to do with this offense, how Cody Fajardo is going to be. I've said probably for the last 2 weeks on these broadcasts, I would love to see the RPO implemented a lot more in this offense. I would love to see us use Cody Fajardo as a runner, right? So today, when we're out there, Rider Nation, let's think Jalen Hurts and less Daniel Jones. I think that's what we're all looking at.
You mentioned the defensive front for the Riders. A.C. Leonard leads the league with 11 sacks, right behind Jonathan Woodard, 10 sacks. Micah Johnson in the middle, the league leader in tackles for a loss, with 8 to go with his 2 sacks as well. 20 minutes to kick off. We're going to talk Duke Williams on the other side of the break. He kind of lit it on fire yesterday when we asked him, what's the deal with the Calgary defense? We'll hear from Duke next. We'll break for SaskTel, Nick Service, Farmer's Edge, and EasyBidsFarmAuctions.com. Back with more in the Rider Nation pregame show on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
The voice of Canada's team, worldwide. Listen online anywhere on the official Rider app or 620CKRM.com.
18 minutes to kick off ahead of the West semifinal, the Riders and Stamps on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network. Every pregame show, we have one big number brought to you by Prairie Gun Traders in Avonlea. For all your hunting and shooting needs, visit prairieguntraders.ca. Duke Williams had a monstrous performance the last time he played for the Riders at the game against the Edmonton Elks. So we expect him to be big today. You would suspect Calgary expects Duke to be a big deal today. So we wanted to talk to Mr. Williams and ask him, what does the Calgary defense do the best? And I got to tell you, we got a great answer.
Drop back and play zone. That's they not gonna play man-to-man. They can't cover us man-to-man. So why would they even play us man-to-man? We know they're gonna play zone. We just got to be where we at. They're a disciplined team, you know. I respect them, but all they do is play zone, drop back, rush forward, nothing more than that.
What does that demand of you as a receiver when they drop back and play zone?
Run your route. It's always one of those open in the zone. You can't cover every window. You just got to be at the right time, you know. I love playing zone teams at the end of the day. If that's what y'all want to do, that's what we're going to pick it apart. Like I said, we ready to play. It ain't no ifs, ands, and buts about it.
It's not just Luke Mullender that he points out that Calgary plays a lot of zone, but he throws in, they can't cover us man-to-man. I love it as Duke puts a little fire into this.
Yeah, and for all intents and purposes, I love his attitude. I think that this receiving core, and I've said this before, Duke Williams is exactly what they needed. He's a guy that's tough. He's a guy that, again, I talk about it all the time. You can play linebacker. You put Duke Williams defensive end. This guy is just a football player, and I think that with the amount of young players that they have in that receiving core, and also combined with the fact that their veteran leadership in the receiving room hasn't been to where it is, and part of that is because Kyran Moore's been out, right? You needed a guy like Duke to come in and just add an element of toughness to that room. So, again, he's right. They don't play much man, right? And when you don't play much man, you can say that is if you're Duke Williams. But, I think that today They've really got to put it together. Calgary's, and one of the reasons why Calgary's going to sit back there in a zone is because Calgary just basically says, you know what, you can have everything in front of us. You're not getting over top of us, though. This is a great secondary, right? They've extended Jamar Wall's career by putting him at safety. They've got Richard Leonard, Raheem Wilson, Trey Roberson is a guy that's back into the fold there now. Jonathan Moxie. I'm telling you, man, that is an experienced secondary, and with Elijah Thurman, Darnell Sankey, and Brad Dozier in there, here's the thing: you can't get comfortable throwing in those zones, right? Just because you string together a couple 5-6 yard gains, mm-hmm. the one time you think, oh well, this is going easy, that's when you don't all of a sudden get the ball just over the outstretched fingers of a linebacker, right? That's when you force a ball in and Darnell Sankey and Elijah Thurman go in for the pick. So you've got to stay on schedule today, and that schedule needs to include the run game, because that, I think, is what's going to separate the winners and losers today. And when I say run game, you don't need it to be just the running back.
Cody Fajardo can do it as well. We're 14 minutes from kickoff for Sulphur Group, Golden West Trailers and Equipment, SGI Take Care out there, and Dos Locos Strawberry Lime Tequila Seltzer. We'll hear more from Duke Williams. We'll have Bring 'Em Out, and the game not far from now, the West semifinal, the Riders and Stamps, as a capper to a 9-5 season. We're going to break back with more from Duke Williams on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.
Stand up, get loud, bleed green. Kickoff is just minutes away. This is Rider Nation Pregame on the home of the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network, 620 CKRM.
Quickly, the Duke at the 20. Oh, separated from the football, and Duke is worse for wear. Jonathan Rose laid the hit on him. Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
And Duke is down.
This is an absolutely monster hit, and Duke goes right to his ankle or knee area. Yeah, it looks like his inside ankle, it just gets caught in the turf as he got hit.
That was Duke Williams, week 15 against the Edmonton Elks, as we return to Mosaic Stadium. And Luke, I think you and I both kind of thought, oh, that actually might be the end of Duke Williams' season.
Yeah, well, what you need to play is the clip three plays later, because me and you were both flabbergasted that Duke Williams made it back into the game.
Yeah.
But again, that's the toughness that I admire, and that's the toughness you need, especially in the West. I was doing a hit with our buddy Riley Pollock here this week, DT, and he said, you know, hey, what's the difference, right? What's going to happen when it comes to the West versus East in the Grey Cup? And I said, well, it's going to be the same thing. The West team is going to limp in there, yep. bruised up, banged up, hurt, tired, complaining. The East is going to roll in there like Hamilton is, fresh as a daisy. Feels probably like they've been on 3 bye weeks. And you're going to slug it out. And if that's the case, you need more guys like number 14 for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Well, let's,
today, you're going to have to pay the physical toll.
It's about
playing physical football.
Let's hear from number 14. We asked Duke Williams, are you surprised that you are 100% by your own words this week based on just how painful that injury seemed to be?
I mean, I preach it a lot. Everybody ain't got that dog in them. Like, I always say that, and that's my motto. I just laid there on the ground for a couple of minutes and made sure I was straight. And I told myself if I could walk off the field, then I was going to run back on it. And that's what I did. You know, glory to God at the end of the day, because it could have been worse than what it looked.
I was going to say, we don't all have that dog in us, but we all have knee ligaments that aren't supposed to do that.
We have knee ligaments.
You feel like you will not be restricted at all on Sunday?
I'm all in 100% every play.
Duke Williams saying he will not be limited today. The Riders will need him. He has the most deep targets of any receiver since he joined this team with 8. Shaq Williams right behind with 7. They can hit the Stampeders defense in a number of ways. They have the potential to, but can they get it done? Their final game at Mosaic Stadium for 2021. Your Saskatchewan Rough Riders in the Western semifinal. Let's bring them out.
Bring them out, 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 bring them out.
uniforms for this one for your Saskatchewan Roughriders. Hardly any sleeves at all, with the temperature being a robust 1 degree Celsius. We check in on the injury report now. 16 riders onto the 6-game injury list. One game, Keon Adams, DeMarcus Gates, Terrell Chana, Cam Jefferson, Gary Johnson Jr., and Alvin Jones Jr. They are new on it as of this week. And Garrett Marino on there as well, plus Justin McInnes dealing with a hamstring injury. The injury report for the Saskatchewan Construction Safety Association. Their members pay $50 for most construction safety training courses.
This is what it feels like. This is all right.
All green, white and red. They're already talking smack across the 55-yard line. The Stampeders are not ready for what the Riders are going to bring tonight. Give me somebody you're looking forward to see play, Luke. Not necessarily they're going to be the most important guy, but you're kind of curious what they will be about today.
Hey, you remember that movie, The Dark Knight Rises, right? When all of Gotham, like, what's his face? The rich guy. What's his name?
Bruce Wayne.
When Bruce Wayne, he hadn't been seen by anybody for like years and years. And all of a sudden he comes back, right? And out of nowhere. And Batman also comes back and nobody does the math. Well, guess what? Today Batman's coming back. Shaq Evans is going to have a big game today. We're going one touchdown, 68 yards, and a couple key catches. That's what I got. I got number one. Because he's been maligned all year, and we've been waiting for Batman to return. Today's the day.
I was not 100% sure where you were going with that, but I like where you got. It's awesome. We'll break for the Capital Auto Mall, Young's Equipment, your Saskatchewan Party Caucus, and the Williston Basin International Airport. Luke's three keys to the game next on the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network.